ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय The information on how to think of the Supreme Being at the time of death is also given in the Gita. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam cha jante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya saratad bhava bhavatam. In whatever condition one quits his body in his next life, he will attain that state of being without fail. Bhagavad Gita 8.6. Material nature is a display of one of the energies of the Supreme Lord. In the Vishnu Purana, the total energies of the Supreme Lord as Vishnu Shakti, Para, Prokta, etc. are delineated. The Supreme Lord has diverse and innumerable energies, which are beyond our conception. However, great learned sages or liberated souls have studied these energies and have analyzed them into three parts. All of the energies are of Vishnu Shakti, that is to say, they are different potencies of Lord Vishnu. That energy is para, transcendental. Living entities also belong to the superior energy, as has already been explained. The other energies, or material energies, are in the mode of ignorance. At the time of death, we can either remain in the inferior energy of this material world, or we can transfer to the energy of the spiritual world. In life, we are accustomed to thinking either of the material or the spiritual energy. There are so many literatures which fill our thoughts with the material energy, newspapers, novels, etc. Our thinking, which is now absorbed in these literatures, must be transferred to the Vedic literatures. The great sages, therefore, have written so many Vedic literatures, such as the Puranas, etc. The Puranas are not imaginative, they are historical records. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is the following verse. Maya mugdha jiver nahi shvata krishna jnan jivera kripaya koila krishna veda pulan. It's in Madhya Lila 20.1.2.2. The forgetful living entities are conditioned souls have forgotten their relationship with the Supreme Lord, and they are engrossed in thinking of material activities. Just to transfer their thinking power to the spiritual sky, Krishna has given a number of Vedic literatures. First he divided the Vedas into four, then he explained them in the Puranas. And for less capable people, he wrote the Mahabharata. In the Mahabharata, there is given the Bhagavad Gita. Then all the Vedic literature is summarized in the Vedanta Sutra, and for future guidance, he gave a natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra called Srimad Bhagavatam. We must always engage our minds in reading these Vedic literatures, just as materialists engage their minds in reading newspapers, magazines, and so many materialistic literatures. We must transfer our reading to these literatures which are given to us by Vyasadeva. In that way, it will be possible for us to remember the Supreme Lord at the time of death. That is the only way suggested by the Lord, and he guarantees the results. There is no doubt. Bhagavad Gita 8.7. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhicha mayarpita manobhutir mam evaishyasi ashamshaya. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me, and at the same time you should continue your prescribed duty and fight. With your mind and activities fixed on me and everything engaged in me, you will attain me without any doubt. There's your answer. you should remember me at the same time you're doing your fighting. So the essential point is that we must remember Krishna. Now he's talking about transferring ourselves to the spiritual world. So we can do this by remembering a Krishna at the time of death. So that's only going to happen with practice. Right? Otherwise, because Krishna is saying before, yeah, anyone who quits this body at the end of life remembering me attains immediately to my nature, and there is no doubt of this. So now if we're remembering Krishna, then we go completely to Krishna. And if we remember Krishna but remember something material, then we will have to go to that material, but in a situation that we will remember Krishna. Does that make sense? It's a very simple formula. Whatever you remember, you go there. So if you remember Krishna alone, then we go to Krishna. There's no connection to the material world. But if we remember Krishna and remember our daughter, or remember our money, or remember our, you know, something else, then we're going to, it'll be mixed. We'll be devotees, we'll be remembering Krishna, but we will have to be in a situation where we have those things. It means whatever you remember, that has to be, you have to get that result. So when you mix these two, you won't get the material there in the spiritual world, so it must be here. So then it's just a matter of how to arrange that. Krishna will arrange it. You'll be in a nice situation, we'll have a nice family, we'll have a nice daughter, or nice money, or nice car, and we'll be thinking of him and absorbed in him. But still we're here. That's why Krishna says, remember me alone. Because then you don't get this mixed result. You remember him, then you go to him. So now, how to remember him? So remembering comes by what we do. This is called samskar. Samskar means impressions. What impressions or experiences you get. Like you do something and it creates an impression, good or bad. And then what is good you like to keep, you like to increase, you like to develop. What's bad you tend to either ignore, or if it was bad and it made a point, then you know there's something that you gain from that. You know, don't do this thing because you get a bad result. You know, if I drop a brick on my toe, then my toe swells up, so don't drop bricks on the toe. So it's something I'll remember. Something else I'll do wasn't very exciting or this or that, maybe boring, okay, so I forget it, wasn't nice. Something I liked, I remember. And then these all make your life. You add all this together and this is you. You're conditioned, the conditioned you. And depending upon the desires, the endeavors, that's going to create the next life. That's what you'll get. You'll get that. You know? So many, yeah. So then, so therefore, what you're thinking about, what you do, all these things must be taken into consideration. So here then Prabhupada is talking about the Vedic literatures. We want to know about Krishna, we want to know about the actual, what is proper, then the Vedic literature is important. Without the Vedic literature, how we'll know what is reality? Right? So much literature is there, what is this place? You know, novels, newspapers, this, that. But what is reality, that's explained in the Vedic literature. Right? You don't find that in your novel or newspaper. Yeah? So then that has to be read. From that you gain knowledge. When that knowledge is there, then there's endeavor. Right? What you read about, what you know you want to do. You know something, you want to do it. Isn't it? You know something, you like that thing, you value it, you want to do it. You know something you want to do. You know cooking. And there's an opportunity for cooking, you want to do it. So what you know you want to do. So the whole idea is if you know Krishna, then you want to do activities in connection with Krishna. So that's what the Vedic literature is for. So then the Veda is there, it's all knowledge is there, everything is there. And because it's so vast, it's broken into the four Vedas. Then to explain these four Vedas, then the Puranas. Because the Puranas then, the Veda is telling that you should do certain things. You know, certain things are of value and all these things. But the Puranas show how people do them. How people do. How it is that they do. Like you see Bhagavatam, it's all stories. Right? Mahabharata, it's all stories. The Puranas are general history. Then you have Itihas, which is specific history. It's on a specific person, like Mahabharata is on the Pandavas. So therefore it's called Itihas. Or Ramayana is on Lord Ramachandra. Right? But Bhagavatam talks about everybody, from creation to the end of Kali Yuga. But Itihas just talks on one person. Like that. So then that's giving more detail. Like that. So these things are then all there. Now what is the conclusion of all this? Right? Vedic literature has been given. The Vedas have been given. The Puranas that tell all these nice histories. What's the conclusion? What is it we're supposed to do with this? Okay, they acted like this. They followed nicely basic Vedic culture. They did so many things nice. What are they supposed to do with this? Then you get the Vedanta Sutra. That gives the conclusion. What's it for? What are you supposed to do with this? Then, because that's in codes, it may not be so clear, then the Bhagavatam gives a commentary on that. Because even though you get the essence, it still has to be expanded and applied in your life. So then the Bhagavatam gives that expansion. So these Vedic literatures, if they are read, then they give us understanding of Krishna, about Krishna, of what Krishna does, and they connect all the Vedic subjects to Krishna. Anything you want to know about, there's this topic in the Vedas. But in the Vedic literature, it's connected to the Lord. Well, in the modern literatures, it's not. They just take the subject as it is, right? So many times you take the Vedic literature, and it describes, let's say you want to take astrology. So the first thing it will explain is creation. God is there, then He created this universe. In the creation of this universe, there were these planets created. Then, on the further creation, then all the different species of life are there, then there's humans. Then humans are given the ability to perform activities. And then these activities can be good or bad results. And so then this is controlled by the planets. So now we can start talking about astrology. But then, and then before that, then you have to know, okay, so now we understand the concept where it came from. Now we have to know where the planets are. How do you calculate where each planet is? Right? So that's astronomy. Then after understanding all that, these first two things, then you can say, okay, when the planet is in this place, it will give this effect. When it's in that place, it will give that effect. Then you get to astrology. Right? But most people, they want to study astrology, they will drop the first two. They will drop the histories and the creation, and they'll drop the astronomy. Because that's boring. That doesn't, in their mind, it doesn't have anything to do with the subject. Right? Just like, let's say, you want to know, oh, this is a very nice thing, what is this? Then you say, okay, this is a subject. You know? So now, oh, then how do you cook this? Oh, you know, you put a few things in a pot, you put some ghee and some spices and push it around a little bit, and then it comes out, oh, very nice, okay. So if that's all you want to know, that's enough. But if you really want to know, you have to know where to go and buy it, what an actual good sabji is, what season you can buy it in, how to cut it, how to wash it, you know, what sabji goes with which spicing, and which kind of preparation you can make with which vegetables. Right? Then, which spicings and that go with which kinds of preparations. And then what preparations you would make and which, what it is. You know, is it a meal? Is it a snack? You know, is it a festival? Or is it just, you know, daily eating? All this you have to know if you really want to be able to cook it. But most people don't bother. You just give me a recipe, I'll just cook it and finish. So then they'll call that cooking. It is cooking. But it's not the complete cooking. A real cook knows all that stuff. And someone who can follow a recipe, okay, they know enough that they know the difference between an eggplant and a cauliflower. So when it says eggplant sabji, they know they pick up the black one. When it says cauliflower, they pick up the white one. And so, but other than that, then they don't know. So the Vedic literatures get into all this to a very deep degree with the ideas that you'll connect it to the Lord. Because the topic starts with God and then comes down to what you want to know. But nowadays, many people, Vedic literature, so-called, they're not the Vedic literature. They're based on the literatures. They take only out that one part. So you can get a book on astrology. It doesn't talk anything about God, the planets themselves as people, their relationships, what service they're doing for Krishna. Right? Where do they fit in the whole cosmic creation? How do we fit into the whole cosmic creation? What is activity for? They just say, oh, if you do this, you'll get money. And if you do that, then you'll, you know, get a nice house. And you do this, then you'll lose your money. But what's money for? How to use money? How to live in the house? What's the house for? Who should live in the house? What's the purpose of that? They don't tell. So therefore, it's not actually complete knowledge. It's called, according to Ishopanishad, that's called avidya. Because it's not knowledge. It looks like knowledge. You have to use your intelligence. But, you know, you also have to use your intelligence not to step in a puddle. So that doesn't make it a great body of knowledge. Like that. So this is the thing. Is the, unless it's connected with Krishna, that's called vidya. But if the same knowledge is not connected to Krishna, it's called avidya. So here Prabhupada is saying, study the Vedic literatures. In other words, study, it has to be studied in connection with Krishna. So that is the perfection of the Bhagavatam. It's all the essence of all the other literatures are there in Bhagavatam, because it's the conclusions. Plus, then it gives very nice practical way how to live it, how they did these things. You know, it applies in your life no matter where it is. One may say, well, it only applies in that situation. Okay, 5,000 years ago you could apply it, but when Diti and Kasyapa, that wasn't 5,000 years ago. That wasn't even 5 million years ago. That was trillions of years ago. Like maybe about 150 trillion years ago. But we'll think, oh, okay, it applies 5,000 years ago. Well, if it applies 5,000, why it doesn't apply today? It all applies. You just have to apply it. Right? It's a mundane. Or does it apply? How it applies? Okay, we see a movie, the guy who wore this clothes talked like this, right? And you go out on the street, everyone's talking like that. But where did that happen? That happened in a studio in Bombay or in Hollywood. Right? The guy was an actor. He's not that. You know? They put those clothes together just for this movie. So it only applies there. If you happen to be that actor in that movie, on that set, wearing those clothes, saying those lines, it applies. Otherwise, it doesn't apply now. But people apply it in their life. They dress that dress, they walk that walk, talk that talk. It has nothing to do with it. It's complete illusion. Therefore, the Vedic literature can be applied. Just you have to want to apply it. Right? The guy in the movies was, you know, very tall and handsome and muscular and that. And we're short and stocky and dumpy and all that. But somehow or another, we will find a way to wear that kind of shirt or pants. Right? We'll make it a little bit bigger and cut the bottoms off. Or, you know, we'll do something to it. And then we think, yes, we look like that. No, we don't. Anybody else will know we don't look like that. Right? But we try. We endeavor. So the same thing is, okay, Aditi and Kasyapa, you know, they are sitting there discussing about having a child, right? And so then the proper thing is the, you know, proper worship of the Lord, and then they can get the Lord, you know, get a proper child. Okay, then we're not on, you know, Janaloka. We're not a Prajapati. You know, we're not, you know, 150 trillion years ago like this. So then we can say, it doesn't apply to us. But then what does apply to us if we're going to use that? Right? Your friend said, oh, I did this, it was great. But you're not your friend. You're not in the same situation. So therefore, if we take that logic, nothing applies to us. And we can't do anything that anybody else did with any result. Right? If we follow the logic. So therefore, we have to see it's faulty logic. But we see it's husband and wife. Are there husband and wives today? Well, generally, we have a lot. Right? And then, you know, do they want to have children? Oh, yes, it seems some of them want to have children. Okay, we can apply that, you know, like that. And then, you know, it takes both of them to have a child. Yes, it still seems to work today like that. It's not different than it was 150 trillion years ago. Okay, now the point comes as if according to sacrifice we conceive a child, then we'll get a good child. And if we don't, we won't. right? The other example is Diti, right? Improper conception. She got some not so nice children, you know. And then Aditi, she performed the proper way. She got quite a good child, right? You know, can't probably get a better child than God, right? And you probably can't get a worse child than Hiranyakashipu. So it works. We can apply it. So that's the thing. Using the intelligence. That's the meaning of Buddhi Yoga. Use your intelligence how to make it fit. We're making everything else fit. If it's for our senses, we're going to make it fit. Right? It doesn't matter what. We'll somehow or another make it happen. But when it comes to spiritual, then, oh, it doesn't work. It's not, things are different. You know, like that. It's not the same. Right? So like that. So the Vedic literatures then should be read with the point idea that we're going to gain knowledge about ourself, this world, and its connection with Krishna. Therefore, whatever we do will be in connection with Krishna, and we'll get out of here. We'll go back to Godhead. Because the goal is we want Krishna, and we want to go back to Godhead. So since I have an interest in some particular subject, how does that connect with Krishna? Right? Okay, I'm a mathematician. Okay, so how does math connect to Krishna? Oh, through astrology. Oh, I'm a musician. So how does that connect to Krishna? Oh, through the music and the Gandharva Veda. And these. Oh, okay. So in this way, then, whatever your conditioned nature, you connect it. But the idea is to please Krishna, not ourselves. Because if it's ourselves, we may get lost in the literature itself. This is quite big. But otherwise, then, these are to be done. And if that seems like, you know, how are we going to read all of them? Then easy, read Bhagavatam. That's the essence. You read that, then you have all everything. But if you branch out into some area of material endeavor, how does that connect to Krishna? That's the natural question. Someone who's inquisitive wants to know. Everything's supposed to be connected to Krishna. So at the time of death, I remember Krishna. Then how to connect this? Right? I want to make some money. How to connect that to Krishna? What do I do with that money? How do I connect it to Krishna? Okay, I have money and I buy things with my money. How do I use those for Krishna? I have this body. How is that used for Krishna? How is it taken care of for Krishna? You know, I want to maintain things. How do I do that? So all these things have to be inquired about and found out. So that's available in the Vedic literature. Then, at the time of death, we can think of Krishna. That's the as a watch. Are there any questions on this? Fully satisfied. No questions.
How to remember only Krishna?
How to remember only Krishna? Means we. Krishna. Means if our goal is to remember Krishna at the time of death, means we want to attain Krishna, that's our goal. Then we look at where we are now and figure out, you know, and where that is, how far that is away from Krishna. Right? Krishna says there's only one path. Right? So we have hell at one end and Vrindavan at the other. It's only one path. You can't go lower than hell. Right? And you can't go higher than Vrindavan. So we have to look at where we are and figure out where we are in between. Then we figure out where we are. Then we see how to engage where we are in Krishna's service. Because by engaging that in Krishna's service, we purify ourselves and we move forward. But we'll only move forward to Krishna if we keep Krishna as the goal. Then we'll keep going until we get to Krishna. Right? That's the whole thing here. Arjuna. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me And at the same time, you should continue your prescribed duty and fight, with your mind and activities always fixed on me and everything engaged in me. You will attain me without any doubt. Mind and activities fixed on me and everything engaged in me. So here is the body, the mind, the words, everything's engaged. So that's the thing. He's a Kshatriya. So he's not engaging himself as a Brahmin. He's engaging himself as a Kshatriya. And doing that, thinking of Krishna, his endeavor is for Krishna. All his everything, his paraphernalia is engaged in Krishna. So therefore, then it's complete. Right? His body's engaged. His mind is engaged. His words. His words means his activities. Right? Means this thing of body, mind, and words is essential. It'll come up everywhere. Sometimes we just take it as an, you know, arbitrary, okay, the body, okay, the mind, the words. No, the body means what? Means everything about the body. And it means our ego, who we think we are. Right? So that ego is complete by saying the body. Like if we take the false ego and the body is the most essential part of this. Because it's based on that. Or we can, the symptom of it is that. Then, mind, then of course, mind is very clear. That's pretty straightforward. And then words. Words means, words are senses, right? You have, there are 10 senses. So the knowledge inquiring and the active senses. So, and that's connected with the intelligence. Right? That's the other side of this ego, is the intelligence. So now, how do you, so it has to connect all of those. The one thing has to connect everything. So how can you tell what is a sense, that by that you can engage the other senses, plus it includes the intelligence. Right? Prabhupada gives the example, is that you can tell a fool by what he speaks. So if a fool is quiet, you don't know if he's smart or not. As soon as he speaks, then you know. So by the speech, you can tell if they're intelligent. Right? By the speech, you can understand how they engage their senses. What is their, those things. So the speech is then the essence of that whole aspect. And then mind. So if you have body, mind, and words, then you have all the gross and subtle body. It's complete. So these will always come up. So that also means the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, and the mode of goodness is all engaged here. With your mind, right there, your activities, so that means that second level, the mode of passion, and everything engaged in me, then that's the mode of ignorance, all of his things. Right? His body, his chariot, his bow and arrow and everything and else. His kingdom. Like that. All his paraphernalia. That's engaged. So all these levels, goodness, passion, and ignorance, is engaged in the Lord's service. So it's complete. With that, you will attain me without any doubt. So if that's complete like that, then it's then without a doubt one will engage. So that's why then Krishna then says that according to your nature, you have to pick what level you're on and engage it. If you're on the Hamsa platform, you just sit down and chant Hare Krishna. And remember Krishna, and then you'll get to Krishna. You don't have to do anything else, because you're not on the bodily platform. So you don't need it. Right? But if you're conditioned, then you may need to engage in activities that regulate the conditioned nature, the sadhana. But all this sadhana is purely in the mode of goodness. And the sadhana is also directly connected with the Lord. Directly or indirectly connected with the Lord. So the deity worship and all these aspects of sadhana, they're done in connection with the Lord, nothing else. They engage the body, the mind, and the senses. But it's on a very, there's no economics there. And basically, you know, there's no emotions, so, you know, strong emotions. It's not emotionless, but it's emotions in serving the Lord and serving in association of devotees and interacting with devotees on a very spiritual platform. That is sadhana. So if you can do that, then that's the next best. Very good. But if you find you can't do that, you have many material desires, you have so many things you want to do that are other than just, you know, studying, preaching, deity worship, chanting, like this, then you have to work for Krishna. Then you have to include that I have a conditioned nature that's not going to so easily be engaged. So that conditioned nature then has to be more than just it has to be fed, and you have to give it a place to sleep, and you have to make it clean and dress it. Put some tilak on it, some neck beads. Right? Sadhana does that much. But if you want to work for Krishna, then that takes into consideration, well, how you'll work. Work means other than this. Right? Or you're going to do this, but for economic development. Here, sadhana means you're preaching and you're doing deity worship, but it's simply for sadhana. It's simply for elevation only, direct elevation. But it worked for me, then you're doing it because I do my pujari work, because they give me a place to stay and they give me some money and this and that, and I can maintain my family. Or, you know, I preach, but I get 25% of the collection to maintain and do whatever I like. Understand? There's a difference. There's a difference there. So, that's the next level. But then, how to engage all those? If you just do it without connecting it to Krishna, then it's sinful. Right? Taking care of being a nice, moral person, taking care of your family, doing everything perfectly right, but if it's not done for Krishna, it's sinful. What's the definition of sin? What keeps you in the material world? Within sin, it may be pious sin. Right? It's pious sin. It will elevate you to the heavenly planets, and you'll become beautiful and wealthy and all these different things. You may even become Lord Brahma. You know, what normal people call, material people call piety or good karma. And what they'll call sin is bad karma. But if you're looking at it from the devotee's point of view, from the Bhagavatam point of view, what gets you out of this material world, that is called pious. Because real piety is going back to Godhead and serving Krishna. And impiety is staying in the material world and thinking we're the controller and enjoy it. So therefore you have pious sinful activities and sinful sinful activities. And then you have real piety, which is devotional service. So that devotional service means you have to take the material piety and engage it in Krishna's service. Otherwise, it'll keep you here. It doesn't matter who you are or who you think you are. You're going to stay right here. It's that simple. The process is so simple. That's all. That's the thing. But because every living entity is so unique and individual, then the Vedic literatures are vast to cover the situations for everybody. But if you understand the principles of application, you can do, you know, with your own intelligence and with some help and guidance from others. You don't have to read everything to figure out what you're supposed to do. So then, this way, then you figure out where you are, and you have to be honest. That's the thing. Honesty is a very important thing. Nowadays, everyone talks honesty. But then honesty is, maybe we're a shudra. Maybe we're not Krishna conscious. Maybe we're in Maya. Maybe it's not good. And the person who's not in Maya is better. That honesty has to go that far. Honesty isn't just, you know, be honest, you know, you, this one and that one, you this and that and so many things. Why don't you be honest with yourself? Yeah, but then why is it, real honesty is then be honest with yourself also. You're saying all this about others, what about you? What's your right to say? Well, who are you to say all these things? How are you even noticing these things of others? You're only going to notice qualities that you have yourself. So if you've purified the quality where now your management is pure, right? Or your dealings with others is pure, therefore now you can teach others how to manage properly. But if your management is not pure, then how you can criticize others' management? Right? You cannot see things you don't have, right? It means you have eyes, then you can see with them. And they can see what they're made to see. Right? We can only see certain colors. And that's it. Right? But some living entities see beyond that. Or we hear a particular range of sound. Certain animals hear way beyond that. So that's because their ear is like that. That's all. So if you perceive something, you perceive it only because you have it. You say, "Oh, this guy's envious and political," means that you have envy and you have politics. Now, if you purified your politics so that you can use it properly in Krishna's service, yes, then speak, teach others how to do that. But if not, what's your platform for speaking? Right? You've been around longer, or you know, you have a bigger nose, or whatever it is. That doesn't mean it's not enough. For some mundane etiquette, yes. But spiritual life is a different thing. Spiritual life is something else. Just because we're older, that's a consideration for Shudras. Right? Among Shudras, who's older, they are more important. Because if you've done carpentry for 50 years and someone else has done for 5 years, who's going to be better? Right? The person who's done it for 50 years naturally. Therefore, age is important. Amongst Brahmins, it's knowledge. Because knowledge is the commodity. So who has more knowledge, that's better. But amongst Brahmins, the best Brahmins are devotees. And amongst them, bhakti is more important. Who has devotion or realization, that's more important. Other etiquettes naturally are followed. Brahmins also respect an older Brahmin or like this. It is also there. All those etiquettes are there. That's human life. But the essential thing is, we have to see, is devotion. That's the real commodity. That's what buys Krishna. Our knowledge will not buy Krishna. Our age will not buy Krishna. Just because we're initiated in this rung of the parampara does not buy us Krishna. What buys us Krishna is the bhakti. That is the commodity. Right? And to pay then is surrender. And surrender means that humility, that surrender means accepting what's favorable, rejecting what's unfavorable. We don't rationalize what's unfavorable and say, well, nowadays, you know, it's the way life is, you know. That's not surrender. Right? Then, Krishna is the maintainer, Krishna is the protector. Not, yeah, no one's going to take care of you around here, you better go out and make your own money, you know. These guys won't take care. That's not surrender. That is duties. Grihastha is supposed to make his money. That's just his duty. It's a nonsense. It's a subhuman who thinks, I am going to have a Vaishya mentality, and I'm going to want all kinds of facilities, and I'm going to stay in the temple, and the temple damn well better give it to me. That's subhuman. That's not Varnashram. That's not even a Shudra. Shudra is better than that. That's a nonsense. That's a rascal. No, you want so much, you go out and get it. Because you have the nature to get it. And why you're criticizing others? They're not supposed to give you anyway. Since when is the temple supposed to give you money? You perform brahminical activities? Yes, the temple gives. You perform Vaishya activity, they're not supposed to give you. Vaishyas are supposed to give money to the temple. So since, well, where does this philosophy come from? No one will take care, no one this, no one that. Are you still alive? Are you starved in the last 30 years? Right? You only weigh 20 kilos? No, you've been eating every day, and you had a place to stay, you had a place to sleep, you had clothes. Maybe it wasn't ideal. But you go and look in the material world and do everybody has exactly what they want. Every person in the material world has exactly what they want, and all these devotees who live under the protection of the institution like that, then they don't get what they want. Right? Isn't that it? Right? Everybody in Biafra and Somalia, they're millionaires and have all kinds of nice things to eat and everything, and everything looks perfect, right? Isn't it? Yes? No? No. Oh, you mean there's something wrong with this philosophy? No, there's nothing wrong. Okay, that's it. Just wanted to get things straight here. So, the whole idea is this material world is material world, and when you step onto the realm of karma, it's karma. That's all. What your body can do, what it's supposed to get, that's what you get. That's all. If we surrender to Krishna, then Krishna adjusts that. Right? Because of bhakti, you may get more. Not because of your karma. Because of your bhakti. Then you might get more. And Krishna might, the bad reactions, you might get less. That's up to Krishna. What's good for you, just like the child. The child doesn't eat according to what they want to eat. They eat according to what the mother wants to give them. When the child's sick, the mother wants to give them something they don't like to eat. Now they can say, you know, mother this, mother that, but that's not reality. Mother actually, because she cares, she's doing this. She didn't care, yeah, go ahead, eat whatever you want. Go die, see if I care. No, because the mother cares, therefore you can't eat this, because if you eat it, you'll get more sick. So therefore, sometimes Krishna gives more, sometimes he gives less. If giving more will make you more Krishna conscious, he'll give you unlimited. If giving less will make you Krishna conscious, he'll give you less. So that's not a sign of Krishna's love. We have a tendency to take it that way. If Krishna loves us, everything will be perfectly materially nice. And if Krishna doesn't like us, well, actually, we don't even consider that. It's what's wrong with Krishna, if things don't go what nice. It would actually be an improvement. Krishna doesn't like me, therefore this happens. Then at least we see the cause. So if Krishna doesn't like means I've done something wrong, therefore it's my fault. No. How come Krishna's not giving all these things? I'm a devotee. I've been here 30 years. That means I'm never at fault. Only Krishna's at fault. And because I did so many nice things, then therefore, yes, you should give all these things. Yeah, well, of course. This is called karma mimamsa. It's not called bhakti. Karma mimamsa is, I did it, therefore God has to give it. I did the activity, he must give. This is karma mimamsa. I worked all week at my job, the boss has to give me the money. Yeah, but if you didn't do your work nicely and you created some trouble and, you know, you broke the water cooler and, you know, and, you know, you threw some coffee on one of the ladies there and it created a court case, and maybe he won't give you the money. You work, but maybe you won't get your money. He has free will, you worked. He has free will if he wants to give. So, therefore, it comes, so surrender, therefore, he's the maintainer, he's the protector. He's the one doing it. It is our duty to then do these things. The father must try to protect and maintain the family. But he never thinks, I am the protector and maintainer. The mother must protect and maintain the child. But she never thinks, I am the protector and maintainer. No, God is. And some of that potency is given so that you can do your duty. But that, and going back to Godhead, are different. You do it for Krishna. It's that mood to do it for Krishna. And then, in that mood, engaging those things in Krishna's service, then you're given. Like Arjuna here. Here he's fighting. He's empowered to fight. Right? Because it's useful for his service. But later, that power is taken away. He can't even fight with cowherd men in sticks. Right? Untrained. Cowherd men. You know, you see these cowherd men, they're always carrying sticks. Best thing, the only thing they're trained at is how to whack a buffalo. Right? They wouldn't know how to use it. Some of them can do a little something. I don't know about here. Bengal, they know some fighting with a stick. But compared to a Kshatriya who knows astras, right? Nothing. They come along, right in front of his eyes, take all the queens, walk off. And he's sitting there. He can't do anything. Because now it's not important for him to go back. Going back to Godhead is his remembrance of Krishna. These others are the purifiers to bring us to that platform. Right? So therefore, we're empowered with different abilities. Whatever it is, intelligence or physical abilities, mental abilities. And every living entity is empowered because all these qualities are Krishna. So they get to some degree. Like that. So Krishna is the maintainer. He's the protector. Then we're supposed to identify ourselves as a servant. We must serve. We must see, I am a servant, not I am Lord. Just because I've been here for some amount of time, or I'm bigger or smaller, or you know, whatever, it doesn't mean that I'm the... No, I'm the servant. Any position is servant. Even you're in charge, you're still servant. And if you're not in charge, then definitely you're servant. Like that. Leading means it's a service to lead. And you can only lead if you're following someone in front of you. Right? The only person that is at the head of the pack is God. So if you're the leader and you're not following someone in front of you, that means you must be God. And if we're not God, then, okay, then we need to have someone in front of us. We have to follow also. And then the final is always be meek and humble. So whatever our position, whatever we're doing, whatever our abilities, we must be meek and humble. That's surrender. So with that surrender, then we can take the activities that we find in the Vedic literature. How to engage, okay, as a brahmachari, how do I engage myself in Krishna service? How do I dress as a brahmachari? How do I take a bath as a brahmachari? How do I put a tilak? Or how do I keep my hair? Or all these things. How do I do? And as a grihastha, how I do that? As vanaprastha, how I do that? All these things. How do I do it? Then we're completely connected. And in that mood of surrender, then we'll be purified. And if we're always remembering, trying to remember Krishna in this, then we'll go back to Kathleen. Does that make any sense? Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada will tomorrow. Then he speaks more on this: how to do this, how to remember, and how to do your service the same. But how to blend that? That's in the next paragraphs. So then we should end here. It's after 7 o'clock. Any question?
Can you just ask a question about the price and the same price?
Huh.
So I print books, I like to work with devotees, so I hire some artists, some devotee artists to do the paintings, and they take a certain amount of time to do that. And I hire somebody to do the, typesetting, where they're working with the printers, so what's that position?
It means you or them?
Both.
Well, they're different than you.
Yeah.
It means you're trying to get a certain thing done, so therefore you're using whatever resources you need.
To print some books distributed.
Yeah. It means if you're trying to print the books to make money so you can, you know, build a big house or something, then that's another thing. Then you and them are the same. But others, depending upon their surrender. In other words, when varnashram is more and sadhana is less, it's not as good as when sadhana is more and varnashram is less. And the essence of both of those is remembrance of Krishna, the Bhagavad. So that's always there. But depending upon the person and their degree of attachment, then they situate themselves accordingly. If they need money, then they have to get money. And so then it's proper for them to get money. But still they should remember Krishna and try to connect it. And someone else who is more detached doesn't need the money, then for them to endeavor for money is nonsense. Because it won't take them up, it'll take them down. With the other person, they have to endeavor for money. So they do it, but they do it for Krishna, it'll elevate them. Like that. But from that elevation, naturally detachment comes. From knowledge and service comes detachment. So therefore, it's different for depending upon what is your position, and what is your motive.
And what about in the temple? Things have changed radically last 20 years. So we're speaking about, I'm going to do my preaching, and I'm taking like 25%, 30%.
Yeah.
No.
See, sinful pious means it's not connected to Krishna. This is connected. That's all. So it's not as good as if they preached and just dependent upon whatever came. Yeah. So here it's like you're expecting, you're preaching because it's giving you the money. It's not giving you money, then you go somewhere else and become a Gurukul teacher or something, because they give you a place and some money. And then if they don't have a place or this and that, then you go somewhere else and become a pujari. So your whole idea is to make money, not to do brahminical activities. Your conditioned nature may be brahminical, so you do it. But your goal is to make money. Your ultimate goal is Krishna. Like that. So therefore, that's not as good as someone who's preaching or teaching or doing deity worship because they want to please Krishna directly through this. The other is they want to indirectly. Is that they're doing it as varnashram duty rather than sadhana. So the brahminical activities can fall within varnashram and can fall within sadhana, depending upon the mentality. That's all. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Janita Gaur ki.